I was reading about this missionary named Gladys Allward. She was a missionary in China for more than 50 years. One time she was forced to flee the city where she was living because of the Japanese invasion during World War II. She could not leave the orphans she cared for behind. So she, with only one assistant, led more than 100 orphans over the mountains into a free area of China. During this terrible trip, she grappled with despair as never before. And after passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. A 13-year-old girl in the group reminded her of their much loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. "I am not Moses," Gladys cried in despair. "Of course you aren't," the girl said, "but God is still God." And when Gladys and the orphans made it through, they proved once again that no matter how inadequate we feel, friends, God is still God. Amen. And we can trust him. God wants you to know something this friend, no matter what you're going through, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3:20. Your situation may be difficult and overwhelming, and Jesus wants you to know, do not be afraid. Only believe, Mark 5, verse 36. In our text that is found in Daniel chapter 3, I want to give you some background to this text. In 605 BC, the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar attacked and besieged Jerusalem, and they deported some of the Israelites back to Babylon. Among them were Daniel. And when he got to Babylon, he was given the Babylonian name Belteshazzar. And among them were three fellows named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those were the Babylonian names given to them. Their actual Hebrew names was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were found to be good men, fit for the service in the king's palace. About a year later, in 604 BC, Daniel interprets a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. If we go back to Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 to 45. And then Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges, man, Daniel's God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, verse 47. Daniel then is then set up as a ruler over Babylon in verse 48. And upon Daniel's request, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are set up as administrators over Babylon, verse 49. Now, our text tells us a story, friends, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a burning, fiery furnace. We all know that story. This was a favorite in the Old Testament, and it was enjoyed popularity since the earliest days in the Christian church, when the first generation of Christians in Rome were being persecuted for their faith. There's a story that this whole scene of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace was painted on the catacombs by believers who were being persecuted by the Romans. And it has been an inspiration to all who are oppressed. Friends, it's a story of rugged faith. It's a story of uncompromising faithfulness to God. We first meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 1, where, as colleagues of Daniel, they refused to defile themselves by eating tainted royal food and wine. And now in our text, their commitment is being challenged again. And that perhaps teaches us something, friends, that one spiritual victory is not the end. Do you agree with that? You can have victory in one area, but it doesn't mean that's it now. Every day sees us at the foot of a different mountain to climb. Every day we are subjected to being tempted to deny the Lord whom we love and serve. Every day we are tempted to blend in. Come on, blend in. And not to stand out and dare to be different. We can find help and encouragement from these three young men during the time of difficulty. So what was the challenge they faced? Well, the circumstances were that the proud king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had set up a golden image. It was a huge monument of himself, or perhaps a heathen god, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. All the high officials of the Babylonian Empire had been summoned to a dedication ceremony while the great orchestra were raising the emotional temperature. And so the scene was set for a great cultural and spiritual extravaganza. And in addition, Nebuchadnezzar imposed the death penalty by the fiery furnace for anyone who refused to bow and therefore disrespect him. This was the challenge of the three young men. This is the challenge that they had to face. It was a problem that would not go away. The choice had to be made there and then. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we are constantly faced with making a choice. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had all different kinds of reasons why they should compromise. Hey, they could compromise, man. Compromise seemed to be in order. Take the easy road. It seemed the right thing to take. Talking about compromise, let me just remind you of a story of a Bedouin. These fellows that go in the desert, eh? Who was eating dates as he lay in his tent, eating dates. The candle was beside him. And he took a date and bit it, and then he saw there's a worm inside. He laid that date aside, took another one, bit it, and there was another worm. His solution. He blew out the candle and ate all the dates. Compromise. It would have been easier to just blend in with their new culture and to rationalize that, hey, we are in Babylon now, and get involved in this promiscuity and sinfulness and idolatry. They could have said, look, if we get ourselves killed, who is going to look out for the welfare of these Jewish people in exile? We are no good to anyone dead. Even if it means bowing down to this idol. Man, we need to survive. They could have said, we're in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. We're just trying to fit in. Besides, God will excuse us. We want to be politically correct. They could have said, wait, hang on. We'll bow down, hey guys. We'll bow down. But we won't actually worship this idol. We'll pretend. We will just look like we're worshiping this idol, but in our hearts we'll worship our God. They could have said, we'll worship this idol just this one time, and then we'll ask for forgiveness, no harm done. They could have said, hey, the king is a nice guy, man. Look, he's promoted us. We're all big shots here in Babylon. They could have said, we owe him one. We'll bow down to his idol. Friends, we all have to make choices in life. Some are easy, some are difficult, others challenging the very core of our faith. As Christians, we are under tremendous pressure to conform to the standards of this world. There are some Christians we can't tell apart from those who are not Christians. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a decision to make. They could bow down and blend in like all the others, or they could stand out for what they believe and face the consequences. This is the choice every one of us have to make daily, to go with the flow and be unnoticed, or to stand for what we believe in and become a target of ridicule and persecution. Going against the flow and having to face the furnace takes faith, friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. They knew what they believed in, and they believed what they knew. They refused to renounce God and his commandments. They refused to follow the crowd. They were determined to stand and remain faithful to the Lord at any cost. They were courageous and were prepared to face a fearful death rather than to dishonor their God. But the story doesn't end there, because the biblical account tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar offered them a second chance. He recognized these are Jewish fellows, man. They made a mistake, so I'll give them another opportunity to conform. What a temptation, isn't that true? Surely it is reasonable to just bend the joints, just to blend in, okay? As an appropriate act of respect for the king. We can almost hear Satan whispering in their ears, man, it's a long way from Jerusalem. Because anytime we hear him say to us, go ahead, just do it, you deserve it, nobody will know. He's always whispering that in our ears. And friends, we have to make a choice. C.H. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, a character is what you are in the dark. It's easy to compromise on morality and honesty and faithfulness to the word and to cut a few corners here and there. It's easy to do that, friends. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have none of it. They were prepared to defy the king rather than offend their God. It took courage to stand out, to be three among 300,000. These people, God's people, are not called to go out of their way to be a martyr. But they have to be ready to make a stand for God. Ellen and I were in a gold mine in South Africa. We know how deep that mine was. The shaft we were traveling, going down, was just going and going and going. And in the bottom of it, I saw three Arab guys. And they were talking to us. We're talking about the gold, because everybody was holding these big gold bars. And He said to me, "You must come to visit us in Saudi Arabia." I said, "That would be nice." He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "Don't come." "Don't come." Now, I'm not going to go there in Saudi Arabia with my Bible. God didn't call me to be that martyr, right? But I've got to be ready, friends, to always stand up for God. They were following the traditions of Moses. You know, in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, this is what it says. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." They made a stand. He made a stand. And then we come across Jesus, who was tempted in the wilderness. He rejected outright the tempting compromises offered to him by Satan. The action of these young Hebrew men took courage. Now, in spite of the challenge they faced and the compromise they refused, these men also had confidence in their Lord. They had confidence in their Lord. Nebuchadnezzar was going crazy. Listen what happened. Verse 15. "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the harp and the lyre and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, when you hear the band, you will fall down and worship the image which I have made." Good. "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, small g, who will deliver you from my hands?" And then came the classic reply. Verse 17. "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King." Isn't that something? Can you hear confidence? God was their God. He is theirs, and they are his. They felt secure, and their hope was based on a deep covenant and relationship with the Lord. They were letting the King know in no uncertain terms he had no power over them. They were out of his hands. Verse 18, then they said to him, but if not, I wanted to write 5 pages on this term, "but if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Many times we place heavy emphasis, and we rightfully do. God is able. Isn't that so? We sing about it. He's able. He's able. God will. God can. But friends, let me say that we have to come to a time in our lives when we say, "but if not." Another version says, "but even if he does not." Listen to this, is very important. Any which way. And here's why. Romans 8:37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors." Yeah. through him who loved us. You're not just a boring conqueror. You are more than that. Isn't that wonderful, friends? That talks about confidence, man.
Yes.
Many people struggle here. We say amen to he's able. But we're not quite sure to say, but if not. Many are disappointed because God didn't perform according to their commands or wishes. Friends, by saying he is able, we honor the power of God. By saying, but if not, we honor the sovereignty and the will of God. Isn't that so? Isn't that so? We say, you know what? I'm praying for this because God can. But if he doesn't, he's in control. Amen. If he doesn't, I trust the wisdom of God. We place our lives into the hands of God, regardless of the outcome. And we rob Nebuchadnezzar of any glory for himself. We won't back down. As the Bible says, but even if he doesn't, friends, some Christians believe that faith is confidence in a certain outcome. Faith is believing that God can, but listen to this part, but leaving the outcome to him. I believe you can do this, but I'll leave the outcome to you. Do you see that, friends? I leave the outcome to you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted the king to understand that if God didn't choose to rescue them, it didn't mean that he couldn't rescue them. We should always relinquish our understanding over the purity of God's will. Mark 14, Jesus prayed 36, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Hey, hang on. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Do you see that, friends? Lord, I don't want to go to, I prefer not to go to the cross and die this painful death. This is my will. But hey, wait now, your will is more important. Your will is better than my own. We join the ranks. I just threw this in because it's so wonderful. We join the ranks of those honored by Jesus in Matthew 23, 35. That on you may come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Righteous blood. I like that. These men did not die because they failed to believe God, but because they refused to deny what they believed. Do you see that, friends? Every moment, there are Christians in the world who are being persecuted. They're not saying, we're giving up. No. We know what we believe, come what may. We know what we believe, friends, and we hold on to this because our faith is not in the results of what God can do. Our faith is in God. You see? Our faith is in God. Do you know? In church history, right from the beginning under the Roman Empire, the Bible to this present day in the Middle East, there are countless stories of faithful witnesses who have stood firm to the end. In Revelation chapter 12, the tribulation saints overcame the dragon and the angels. In verse 11, it says, and they overcame him. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Jesus' word to the church in Smyrna, Revelation 2 verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Isn't that marvelous, friends? Some may say, doesn't God have the ability to stop such terrible things? The answer is yes, but if not. Yes, but if not. As I said, sometimes it's important to let the devil know that no matter how things turn out, it's out of his hands. He's not calling the shots. This is not him winning. He doesn't have the final say. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, for this reason, I also suffer those things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had confidence in their God. They trusted him. Their confidence was seen in the words, our God can deliver us, but if not, what they were saying is, God can deliver us if it's his will. He will deliver us, but he may not. He might get us suffer and die. But whatever the outcome, we don't mind, because his will is the best. What a powerful statement. They felt that loyalty to God was greater than the importance of life itself. Ellen was talking to me the other day about Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna. The century after the church of the New Testament, Polycarp was brought before the Roman authorities and told to curse Christ, and he will be released. His reply, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The Roman officer replied, unless you change your mind, I will have to burn you. Polycarp said, you threaten me with a fire that burns for an hour, and after it is quenched. Go ahead. Did you see that, friends? Do what you wish. We know that God is able to save, he's able to heal, he's able to deliver. But we have a God who may not heal, who may not deliver. Our faith, as I said earlier, is more important than faith in his works. Amen? Our faith in God is more important than faith in his works. Ultimately, faith must rest upon the character of God, irrespective of what he does or what he does not do. Amen? So sometimes Christians walk away from God because he didn't do a certain thing. Listen, faith in God is not in his works. It is in who he is. Friends, listen what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isn't that wonderful? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This steadfast refusal by the young men made the king furious that he commanded the furnace to be heated again and again, in fact, 7 times hotter. And they were thrown into the fire. What a terrible experience. Wait. It turned out to be the most wonderful experience. Why? Because these three young men were in the fire. They were not alone. Amen. The Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. Nebuchadnezzar is filled with amazement. He can't believe what he sees. He expected their bodies to be incinerated within seconds. Instead, he saw them doing break dancing in the fire. No, they weren't doing break dancing. They were dancing on the ceiling. Maybe they were. They were walking around, man. They didn't even have a fan in their hands. After seeking confirmation from the ministers, this unclean-lipped Babylonian speaks an eternal truth. Verse 24. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They agree, yes, sir. Look, he says, the next verse. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Praise God, friends. Come on now. One thing is perfectly clear. If God had not delivered these servants from the fire, he delivered them in the fire. You see, let me say that again. If God did not deliver his servants from the fire, he delivered them in the fire.
Amen.
Amen. For their sake, he had deliberately suspended the laws of nature and performed a miracle. Friends, when we face fiery trials, we can be assured God is with us. God is with us. Today, God is with his people through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor, helper, comforter, advocate, guide. Paul expressed it magnificently when he wrote, and this is a lovely passage, Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, which is trouble, shall distress, which is hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, which is danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. 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 Nebuchadnezzar realized there's something remarkable that had taken place, and that made a profound impression on him. He openly acknowledged that the three Jews were servants of the Most High God. Yeah? He didn't say that little God down. No, no. He said that these are servants of the Most High God. And he called him out to the fire, out of the furnace. Let's look at that verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. They emerged from the fire completely unscathed. Not a hair was singed, and their clothes didn't even smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar had come to a moment of truth, and he ordered the whole nation that they should not speak against such a God. Friends, listen, maybe you are in a fiery furnace experience, in a crisis today. Maybe you think Satan had already won. But listen, friends, if you put your faith in God and stay committed to him, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He shows up in the midst of our lives. Jesus tells us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me conclude now, friends. Do you feel like the heat has turned up? When the fire of pain and disappointment and disillusionment comes, God will be with us, for the God of deliverance is the Lord of the furnace. Yes. Friends, he is the one that Isaiah writes. I love this. I wanted to prepare a whole sermon on this, the second part, second verse. But Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And here comes this lovely verse that I want to share one day on. Fear not, he says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, capitals, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. 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 Listen what Jesus said in Luke 12:4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. It's nothing. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Friends, let's draw from the strength from the extreme faith of these young men. We can face adversity with godly confidence. We are comforted knowing that God is with us when we face these trials. And this testing is needed in order to sanctify us and make us holy. One more verse. James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance might finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Christian singer Richard Mullins, he said, you meet the Lord in the furnace a long time before you'll meet him in the sky. You'll meet the Lord in the furnace long before you meet him in the sky. Don't be afraid, friends, of whatever situation you find yourself, because you become more like Jesus. God is with you. Why not turn and trust him? You know that verse, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Don't bend, don't bow, don't burn, but be loose in the fire, friends. Be committed to him. And as the hymn writer says, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. And remember, it takes courage to stand for God and to fight fire with faith. Yeah. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you say, Keith, can you pray for me? I would love to pray for you, friends. Just put up your hand and say, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Listen, friends, let's bow our heads. We are encouraged, Lord, for the simple reason. On many occasions, we cried out to you for help and help didn't come. And we condemned ourselves and we thought we are unworthy. But you have taught us today, you've got all things under control. That you are in charge. We thank you, Lord. I pray for everyone who's raised their hand, Lord, because you know them while they look so lovely on the outside with their smiles and look so strong in faith. Sometimes, and like me, they struggle, Lord. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will reach down and touch every person and meet them at the point of their need, Lord. Giving us confidence, Lord, in spite of the challenge, in spite of the temptation to compromise, Lord, that, Lord, we will have confidence in you, Lord God. And we'll hold on to your word that says, what then can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, even while our very lives are being threatened, Lord God, we say, so what? If it's your will, then that's enough, Lord. But we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you are with us, that we are not alone, that you are with us, Lord. And we say thank you. Bless your holy name. Thank you for all those who reached out to you this morning to say, yes, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Bless us as a church. There are some in our church family who are so discouraged, Lord, by life that they are tempted to throw it in, as it were. I pray that you help them, Lord. Sustain them. Bless them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Restore that which has been destroyed. Restore unto them the joy of their salvation. Bless us, Lord. All of us, we need you more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord lovely, friends?
Yes.
He's lovely, man. He's thinking about you all the time. And he's thinking of ways to bless you. The one thing, the greatest thing, is his presence. He's with us. Amen. Let's stand and sing one more song.